If you're a diehard sports fan or sports fanatic, then this is the place you want to be. You're now listening to the Bromigos podcast, the best place for all sports everything. So pull up and let's go.
You heard the man. You heard the man. Pull up and let's go. Bromigos podcast back with another episode. You already know. Price, Fisky, Rob, we are the Bromigos podcast.
The Bromigos.
We're here giving y'all another episode. And today we're going to talk a little NBA free agency. It's been a while. It has been going down. People, if you have not tapped in, tap in. NFL, AFC South predictions. We got to talk about Cam Ward, the hottest, newest rookie quarterback. What are the expectations for him? And boxing. God damn it, boxing. You selling out and you letting me down right now.
Tisk, motherfucking tisk.
Tisk. And that's all today. Bromigos podcast. Sit back, get your drink, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button and ring the little bell. It's all free, baby. It's all free. Guys, how everybody doing today?
What it do, baby?
Yeah. Now look, NBA free agency. Moves and non-moves. What do y'all think so far of what we have seen?
So, Bucks, they may know what you're doing, but tell me and the people what y'all doing. Because this whole, let's just cut Dame right now and let's keep bring Miles Turner in. What do you think you're doing? Like, because I really don't know, and I would like to know. It'd be nice to know because, I mean, I know y'all trying to keep me honest and I know y'all trying to do everything, you know, to keep the family together. But, you know, sometimes divorce can't be worth it. Not for me, not for me, but for you niggas, because I don't think y'all making it work. When you bring in a Miles Turner, who basically is a younger version of Brook Lopez, who is a pretty solid center. But y'all don't bring in much else, and y'all not doing much else, you know? Like, y'all don't have much to basically bring to Giannis. Maybe y'all do. Maybe there's something being worked out in the thing, and maybe when this recording is going to be, you know, we're going to find out that y'all ended up getting Luka somehow, whatever. But the thing about it is, as it presently constructed, y'all doing, I don't need to say the most, y'all doing the questionable. Like, I don't really understand it. I'm just like here, just on looking. But yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it, guys.
What do you think, Jarvis? What are you feeling? What are you feeling about the Bucks?
I feel like if they are trying their hardest to keep Giannis, they could have fooled me. Because it looks like they're making moves to piss him off even more. And pissing him off is not going to have him want to stay. I don't know what they're doing. I was shocked and appalled. I mean, I know Dame had an injury that's questionable that a lot of people don't come back the same from. But that's Dame. Like, after what, a 1 year a injury-prone experiment? Like, you didn't even give him a full healthy season of an experiment. So, like, I'm still questioning what is their thought process. Like, if they want to keep Giannis, that must mean they got something in their back pocket that's going to just blow our heads off. That's the only explanation I can see. They're going to blow our heads off coming.
No.
That's my only explanation.
There is no blowing our heads off at this moment. Because right now, I feel like this. I feel like they got under their car, drilled a hole in the gas tank, let out all the gas, did a full tank. And then they patched it and said, I'm going to put half a tank bag in there and I'm going to be faster. And I was like, it's not going to work like that. That don't make the car faster.
No, sir.
Look, Miles Turner, you can say, is a great age upgrade over Lopez. But the problem is Dame is hurt. And me and you talked about this and we all talked about this. Yeah, Dame is going to be gone a year. And I understand the process of, hey, we losing a year of Giannis, of his prime. We burning at it. We waiting on Dame. He got a comeback. Okay, cool. But what you did was you opened up your pocket, because the money that they stretching out, they're going to pay. The organization is going to pay. It's not going to be on books. Mm-hmm. They're going to stretch Dame's money out over the next 5 years. Bobby Bonilla, you him a little bit. And I ain't going to lie to you, Dame. Mm-hmm. Free money is free money over the next
Freest
5 years.
Freest of money. It's like the Russell Westbrook shit. I mean, not Russell Westbrook, Russell Wilson shit, to be honest. Getting paid that $22 million. Shit.
Hey, he's getting bread. The player is going to get bread regardless. But your team is getting nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing. This did not make you better. Are y'all not paying attention to Atlanta, Milwaukee? Like,
let them know. Let them know what's going on, man.
Have y'all not saw Orlando making moves? Atlanta, to me, dog, Atlanta is the scariest up-and-coming team in that East right now. Because Boston is hurt. We don't know what the Sixers are going to give you, but I can tell you, it ain't no playoff P. All of the teams that you would maybe be afraid of, they're not there. And Atlanta is like, watch us work. Porzingis, we bringing back our young wings. And then they like, Trey is coming back, and we going to be held then. We making bench moves. And it's like, ain't nobody going to stop them.
Hey, y'all just going to stand pat, just look around.
You know what? I'm going to crown this nigga this today. God damn it, Trae Young might be the goddamn Lex Luthor of the NBA right now, because come he's assembling the Legion of Doom to go out there and fight everybody else right now while they hurt.
Yeah.
Do we dare say you. Orlando versus Atlanta for the Eastern Conference Finals?
Whew, I do.
It's
that
a
is
possibility,
a,
though. It's a that possibility.
So that's kind of stretch that basically the Bucks doing with Dame's money right now. Like that's a stretch that, like a motherfucker. That's a yoga stretch like a motherfucker. Because I mean, I believe in the Hawks, but do I believe in Atlanta sports and what Atlanta sports can do to a team? That's the part. Because granted, I'm looking at Jalen Johnson coming back. I'm looking at Dyson Daniels basically after being one of the depoy candidates. I'm looking at Trae Young being what Trae Young has been. I'm looking at them bringing in Kristaps Porzingis. Granted. You know, it's hard to rely on that, but it's like I'm seeing all those moves that's being made and all this stuff is coming to this team and this team growing. But I'm like, there is a cloud called Atlanta Sports that's like wave and it's like there. It's kind of like nope. It's like that cloud that was just up there. It was like just looking. They just looking at it like, man, what is that? And sooner or later, that motherfucker is going to eat up their hopes. And we don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know why it's going to happen. But that motherfucker is looming and is right there, right for the taking. So I have hope, but I have nope. And that's the thing about this.
So hope and nope, huh?
So look, this is all I'm going to say. Cleveland is a possible candidate. The Knicks, because Boston is out of it. Jeez. Indiana lost Halley. The Bucks don't know what the hell they're doing. Detroit is a candidate to be up there because they only lost to the Knicks twice by like 1 point or like 1 and 2 points the entire series. So that series could have easily went the other way. Orlando's making moves. Miami has done nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Dude, they're sitting on the beach chilling.
They want that boy Pat Head on that, like, which I understand. Well, you know, they not doing
it here. They trying to get, you know, they trying to make a move with the Lakers. That's in the rumor mill.
Yeah, but let's talk about that move. Let's really talk about that move, because I would look. Aaron Rodgers, I can't remember what playoff game that was, through a pass that basically just. It went high in the sky. He talks about it so much. And we talk about there's a name for it. And it's the exact fucking name for what the Heat is trying to do with this Andrew Wiggins proposed trade. Trying to get Rui Hachimura, a first, and Dalton Connect for that motherfucker. It's the hairless of Mary. It's the motherfucking gif of Carlton Banks shooting that goddamn shot from half court. It's a heave of heaves. And look, I could see it, and I get a little PTSD from it, even though we are actually doing a little well. But like, the Cardinals did nothing in the offseason, and now it's basically a team that is up there. I don't see that for the Heat, and they need to do something. Granted, they brought back Davion Mitchell, but what is that supposed to do for whatever else they need? Like, we talked about if basically Bam and Hero is ass, and we really need—we about to see how ass they are if basically the Heat don't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Do y'all know what this is the equivalent to? you remember whenever Nick Young shot that shot and turned around like he was Gilbert Arenas and he thought that shit went in and shit. That's exactly what Pat Riley did with that trade. He threw that bitch and say, "I got it," and it missed.
As a Laker fan, like, you, the talent doesn't even add up to me.
As an outside looking in person, it don't even kind of match. Rui was good last year. Dalton is up and coming, and it's a first. Why would I give that for Andrew Wiggins? Granted, finals guy, Andrew Wiggins, like,
he ain't doing that. He ain't turning my team around enough to get rid of it.
Hold on. This is the same Andrew Wiggins who went to the finals and went like 1-16, 3-16, something like that.
The same one.
I don't talk. Look, I don't care if anybody said it was the past, goddammit. It didn't happen.
I mean, Pat is like, he was a first overall pick, you guys. And
I came a bunch of them that didn't pan out.
I mean, like, the other two niggas you tried to trade for were number one or were first round picks. I think Rui was a first round pick. But yeah, like, it's, I'm like, dog, I don't know how high you are, Pat, but I hope you are within the solar system that we live in. That's really all I hope.
Like, you didn't request that, Pat. I need you to mail me what you smoke, because obviously it's good. Obviously, it's good.
Oh, it's better than good. Because to me, right now, he's trying to convince you that the $200 meal that you ate that's going to come out of his shit whenever you crab it is still worth $200. That's what he's trying to convince you right now. I promise you that that's what he's trying to tell you. It's no way I can let this fly. He is trying to swindle. First of all, Lakers already like to try to swindle niggas. But he trying to swindle the swindlers and not doing a very good job of it.
Like, as long as I swindle first, I might be getting in.
You know, he might get lucky because, you know, the new owners, they might be trying to save money versus getting better talent. You never know how the new owners going to operate.
Can we talk about that right quick? Because we're talking about free agency, and we had a big free agent. I want to say acquisition, but really a rekindling when you talk about LeBron reading up with the Lakers and basically exercising his player option. Can I read y'all a quote right quick? I want to do a little story time right quick. You know, just give y'all let's talk about something. So, per Rich Paul, which is LeBron's dude, agent, all that, confidant, dude. LeBron wants to compete for a championship. He knows the Lakers are building for the future. He understands that, but he values a realistic chance of winning it all. We are appreciative of the partnership that we've had for 8 years with Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka, and consider the Lakers as a critical part of his career. Excuse me. We understand difficulty in winning now while preparing for the future. We do want to evaluate what's best for LeBron at this stage in his career and life and career. He wants to make every season he has left count, and the Lakers understand that, are supportive, and want what's best for him. Guys, after I read that kind of comment, what do you have to think about that?
I got you right here. Translation. I'm out this bitch if y'all don't hurry up and do something around here. I'm out right now. I'm leaving you. That's all I heard. I don't know about y'all. That's all I heard.
Go ahead. I'm gonna let the Lakers fan first, or before I speak. Yeah, right. I can give you the floor.
And as a Lakers fan, this is what I heard. There was a secret meeting between LeBron and the owners before anything was announced. They let him know, you're costing us too goddamn much. We don't care. So this your last go around. We ain't spending $50 million no more. So honestly, if you look at it, LeBron always opts out and re-signs a new one versus one plus one. This time he didn't. He opted in because he knows the Lakers are getting sold. It ain't about him no more. So this is his last year in LA, unless they want to trade him somewhere. He knows this is his last year. They not trying to put a team together for him to win. They let him know this already. So that's why he opted in. They trying to get a little cheaper. They already got their man Luka. That's what they billing for the future. Now they trying to unload LeBron just to get a bunch of cheaper pieces to put around Luka. They looking at saving that moolah. That's what they about right now. So us Laker fans are going to get screwed on the back end while this new owner, you know, stashes money and saves his money and, you know, tries to make money and unload bills, you know, as LeBron, that $50 million contract LeBron got. So we going to suffer for a while as some Laker fans. I can feel it.
And hold on. I can't let you see. You know what? Go ahead, Rob. I'm going to let you go ahead on this.
All right. So I agree with both of y'all. Both of y'all actually what I was going to say, which is he could not take a penny less. I do think LeBron does want to build a team that basically, because he's right, he does is X every single time. He says, I'm going to opt out. I'm going to put the pressure on this team. And then basically I'll opt in saying that we're going to ride out. We're going to do this because he wants to win. Everybody's going on, hey, he don't care about ring culture. That's a whole nother thing. But I think he wants to compete and he wants to be the top dude because he's also said it in press conference. He doesn't like this whole losing shit, but he still likes to hoop. Now, he doesn't like to be at that loser press conference. So he had to basically say, hey, y'all need to figure out something. Y'all need to basically keep putting my foot on y'all neck. But I don't want to basically up this and break this bank. Because if anybody in this league cannot take a pay cut, it is LeBron James. He cannot take a penny less of what he got the year before. There is never a time that he can basically take a cheaper deal ever. Like he has to be the tide that he has to be the boat that lifts all tides every single time. And that's the same thing with like the whole collusion shit, like with the NFL. It's like they were colluding basically keep shit down so that basically they could take advantage of shit. This nigga's like, no, I cannot. He knows better. He basically works with the PA. Basically, is like, yo, I cannot basically let my niggas down and basically show them that, hey, I'm taking less money. So can you? Because it seems like when it comes to a lot of this shit, it's going to get to a point where owners are going to be like, y'all got to take less. Y'all got to chill out because y'all want to build teams and keep teams together and build chemistry. Nah, man, he had to do it.
I think it's this. I think he can take a few pennies. He ain't got to take a lot. But he can take a few pennies to squeeze in some of them veteran minimums or something to help him out. But I will say this. He keeps doing that one plus one. And like you said, they say, all right, we tired of this. Because every time we do this, the number come back higher than what it was before. And this number keep climbing. And let's be real, production was down for him. No matter how y'all look at that record being broken, production was down. First round next year,
definitely
not acceptable. Not acceptable.
It should be.
So with this, with production going down, say, bro, I need you to take 3, 4, 5 million off top, bro. Let me get a couple of these dudes in here that can at least help you. So if you want to win, we can do this.
Yeah, what's 5 million? Come on now.
You ain't Miami LeBron no more.
You're making 50.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though, because like a lot of these cats are making this level of money. And you got to think about it. It's a market. It's a free market. So if he takes less, then basically somebody else would be like, well, LeBron took a pay cut. Why ain't you taking a pay cut, Paolo? Why ain't you taking a pay cut? Giannis,
I'm 14 years younger.
No, and because he's the best ever, or he's the best in your era. He's doing what's best for the team. He's making it happen. You know how this shit goes. It's gonna be used as a bargaining chip.
Mm-hmm. They gonna try, but see, I think if he does it, I think if he took a mate, if he took a 10 or 20, I think then they look at it that they try to do that shit, but. Him with them one plus ones, I knew that this shit was gonna come back eventually to bite them in the ass, but it didn't happen as fast as I thought it was gonna happen. Now he's at a point, I wanna win. Now, where can he go to win? This is where you had an idea. I'm gonna let you go first with your idea, and then I'm gonna tell the people where I think he can go, and it's feasible to me.
So my idea was that, and this is really more because like of what LeBron is. Like LeBron wants to be that mogul. LeBron wants to be the guy that basically is, you know, king of Hollywood, all that kind of shit. The place that I thought about that is really the only place I could think about is Atlanta. Because, like, think about, like, Atlanta's been, like, that Black Hollywood, you know, you got Tyler Perry Studios, you got other people that's trying to basically live out through Atlanta. Atlanta's a popping spot. You know, like, it's a place that has an up-and-coming team that has pieces that basically he could play around and play with. It's not in the Lakers conference. He could basically be as far away from them as possible, may not see them, you know, all that much. So I'm thinking of that being a spot that he can go to. I ain't saying this because I'm with you. Like, it's not too many teams that I would basically be like, hey, you should go get LeBron because of what you have already. It's really like, it's none in my mind. But like, Hawks is the best one to me.
Okay. Now, before I go in on this, flag on the play, offsides, this nigga's out of line for that idea. And Atlanta, if you ever listen to this nigga, he's gonna remember this. I didn't do this nigga for the best part of years, though. He's never gonna let y'all live this down if y'all were to do this and then go out in the first or second round. He will not, trust me, he gets on the other fool in his ass about his Braves losing on what? The regular.
What? You already know Atlanta, he coming for you. He coming for you.
If you do this, you'll never live. I guarantee you'll never live this down. I promise you. You don't do this. Do not listen to him.
Atlanta, we shared a remix. Welcome to Atlanta, had I'm So St. Louis, Ask My Tattooist, Murph Dirt. He was there. We have blood. We are cousins. I would never do anything like that to you. And don't listen lying to him.
He will do it. And he gonna do it with a smile on his face. I'm telling you.
No.
He'll never let you live this down if you was to do this. Me personally, LeBron to Golden State. He wanna play with Steph. He want to play with Steph. High Soul is the front office in Golden State on the job. Let's be real. Just let's be real with ourselves. High Soul are they on Jimmy? I don't feel like they that sold on Jimmy.
Nah. I don't either.
You know who they love in Golden State. The man with the rings there. The light-skinned brother. Him and Draymond. The serial nut kicker and attacker of other NBA players.
One crazy motherfucker, yeah.
Exactly. That's who they're fond of. I think they go, hey, we'll give you this 35-year-old for the 39-year-old. Okay?
But I don't think the Lakers do not want to see LeBron multiple times. They don't want them in the same division, though, man. I don't think that they would. I'll say it like this. I would say that they will put themselves above basically giving LeBron something that he wants. They're two Akron boys that were born in the same, they were born in the same hospital, at least. But I don't think it would be great. I'd love to see it, but it's something that I don't think the Lakers are going to want to do. They do not want to see him in the same division of anything. They still see him as a threat. I would hope they still see him as a threat. They don't want to see that kind of thing.
Okay, but it ain't gonna be what he want, because ain't nobody else willing to take unless he gonna go to the Wizards.
Nah, the man has a no trade clause for a reason.
Okay, so unless he going bottom tier team, somebody in the front office is gonna have to have the right idea of trading for him. And I promise you, if any of y'all are dumb enough, I'ma show up in your dreams like Freddy Krueger and slap the shit up out of you like I'm competing in the power slab event, okay? I promise you.
I have a place that neither one of you have been thinking about, though.
Where do you think that they go?
All right. I don't think LeBron gets traded because they not going to want to send him where he want to go. You know, like Rob says, they ain't going to want to send him to his division. So the only way for him to go is to play this season out as a Laker, which I feel like ultimately is going to happen. Another place that has a team in place that's ready to win. That, you know, I don't know if you could make it work money-wise with everybody. Somebody might have to go. But could you see LeBron as the L.A. Clipper?
That's still in the division.
Yeah, that's about still not in trading, the division. Though. Like, if you're a free agent, you ain't got to worry about trade.
Well, no, he already opted in. So, I mean, like, you're talking about next year.
Yeah, I'm talking about next year. He's going to play this season out as a Laker. And then next year, he goes to either Golden State or the Clippers.
So there's one way I can see this for the Clippers. The Clippers have positioned themselves to get rid of Kawhi and James Harden in 2 years. So that would mean after this season and the next season after. Now, if it was to be after this season, I can maybe see that happening. Because they'd only have to pay the tax one time. Mm-hmm. And they'd make an all-out run for it. But I don't see him wanting to be a Clipper.
They got pieces that's ready, though.
And they got Tyronn Lue. They got Tyronn Lue. They got the dude that basically put fear in his heart with Kawhi. And they got James Harden, who he beat for his first championship. It's not out of the realm of possibility. But it's also I don't see him. If he's going to be in LA, he's going
to
be.
How fitting is it of his ego, though, to say, LA, the Clippers, their first championship?
That would be the thing, because I mean, he gave Cleveland their first championship. Like, that would be the thing of it, but I don't think he's going to want to be anything else other than a Laker. I think that it's one thing to be like, yeah, man, I want to play in LA and I want to be an Angel. Like, nobody's going to ever say that. It's one thing to basically be in New York and say, I want to be a Net. Nobody's ever going to say that. Mm-hmm. They're going to say, I want to be a Knick. I want to be a Dodger. I want to be the brand name. I want to be a part of that. That has more cachet than anything. I think he's going to want to be a Laker. He's either going to be a Laker or he's going to be at home.
Kyrie and KD said that they wanted to be Nets. Just throwing out
that. They wanted to be Nets because they wanted to go to the classroom that had the substitute teacher. That's all they wanted. They saw an opportunity and they basically pounced on it. That had nothing. It could have been the Shanghai Sharks. They didn't give a fuck. It's an NBA team that I'm gonna get paid for, that I could do whatever the hell I want. That's so they all they to cared about.
And doing what the hell I want was a toe on the line away from going to the NBA final. That's all it was.
And then it basically went kaput very quickly. Like, no, them niggas basically wanted to basically have their freedom, and their freedom bit his ass. Just like it basically did with the Suns. He said, oh, I can basically go where I can do whatever the hell I want. And then all of a sudden wanted structure with Monty Williams, and then that shit went away. Like, nah, man. I'm not worried about whatever the fuck KD wants. KD wants to hoop and be confusing. That's all that nigga wants to do.
Hey, I could see the Golden State thing playing out just because he wants to play with Steph. That's the one that's most appeasing and to me possible without him going somewhere. Because I promise you, if any of y'all blow up these good young teams to take LeBron for 2 years and then he leaves y'all in mediocrity, I will be forced to laugh at you.
Definitely. Well, not
really, I'm gonna laugh at you regardless, because I'm gonna be like, that was like just a stupid move.
Yeah.
Because now you have him. All these years, there weren't tall, like, huge wingspan players to put in front of him. Now they got a bunch of them coming in the league now. It's like they already, they are setting themselves up to be, hey, I got to guard LeBron. Mm-hmm. I got to guard KD. And they are coming in this 7-foot wingspan, and they are ready. And they're young guys. So now, to me, if I'm LeBron, I want to go play with Steph. Let Steph run around off screens, and I'm going to find him. Okay? Yeah. And whenever they go to double him, I'm going to run to the goal and dunk this mug. I'm going to do what I've been good at my entire life, and that's playing downhill and getting to the rim.
Yeah,
that's it. If I'm LeBron, that's my spot. And I got the dirtiest player in the game, Draymond Green, on my team.
You can't beat that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Goddamn Ric Flair in the NBA. Poke people in the eye, hit you with brass knuckles, hit you in the little blow you. He been stomping on people's chests. He been doing this shit for years.
Stomp him in his nuts.
The only thing he never did is go ahead and is hit you in the chest and go, whoa, when he do the shit. That's the only thing he ain't did. And get the blood on
him. He said, yeah. And then it not only, LeBron is thinking about saving his legacy, that the only way Steph can get five if they teammates and he get five too. Because he don't want Steph to pass him. You know that. Yeah. He don't want Steph to pass him up.
So y'all heard it here first. Bermigo said 2026-2027 LA Golden State Warriors, Bron and Steph, book it.
Yeah, because that's what I figure it's going to be. Now, from the hardwood to the 100 yards of green turf, we going to give y'all AFC South predictions, and mm-hmm. we're going to start. Can Cam ward off expectations, bro? I'm going to let y'all go first. Matter of fact, Jarvis, do you think Cam Ward can be the person to ward off all the expectations and be prosperous and succeed in the NFL this year as a rookie QB?
I honestly, as good as he was, I don't see him coming in automatically, turning the team around, being a heavy playoff contender. I feel like it's going to be some growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to definitely be some growing pain. Because no matter how good you are, you know, to me, you have a better chance of coming in and turning the NBA team around than you do an NFL team. It takes a lot more pieces to be good. It takes a lot more pieces to really go from 2-3 wins to 10-11 wins, you know. So I feel like it'll give us a good idea what he's capable of with what he has so far. And I think it'll give him an idea of what he might need. We'll see what he got, how he do with it. And then he'll see what he need, and maybe his sophomore year he might come out slang.
What about you, Rob? Do you think he's going to beat him?
I was going to say 100% agree with Vizky, dog. It's a lot to turn this team around, but I would say, looking at the team, they're not as bad as what I would have thought. Like, when I initially was thinking about, like, how they're going to be this year, like, they got some nice players. I still got some wolf in me, Tyler Lockett. They bringing in Calvin Ridley, you know, who, you know, may or may not be past whatever good he had. You know, they went and drafted Eric Ayamaner. They still got, you know, I won't say oops, baby, but Treylon Burks. Like, they got some pieces that basically he could work with. Got Tony Pollard. They built out that line pretty well. They still got Bill Callahan, Brian Callahan. You know, I think that they can make this work better than what it was. I don't think they're going to be dreadful like they were last year. I think they're going to be decent. But as we're going to talk about this division, it may not be a division that they can basically sleep on, because they can't. But as far as like the right track of what they need to be, I think they're on their way. But no, they can't. He can't turn this around. But they're on their way.
They had 3 wins. I'm gonna give them maybe 6.
6 they is good.
Yeah, that's a good number.
They double it. I think you go to 6-11 this year because your offense isn't there. I'm gonna be real. You in there with Houston, who is the big dog. Mm-hmm. Houston is the big dog. Let's be real. The Colts, we're gonna talk about them later. I ain't gonna talk about y'all. Jacksonville is the one wild card in this division.
Mm-hmm.
That quarterback showed flashes of greatness one good time. And they have pieces. They have pieces that they could be good. Jacksonville, you just picked up a two-way player. You have one of the best, like, we going to say, I'm going to say slept on. I heard them rank him as the fifth best LSU receiver, Brian Thomas Jr. You still, yeah, you, Travis Hunter's coming in there. Dynamy is coming in there. He was really good for the, well, right, for the Commanders. Yeah, he was good for the Commanders. I ain't gonna call y'all by y'all old name. I started to call y'all by y'all old name. We ain't gonna do that. They have pieces, but to get them the ball requires the man that catches the ball and throws the ball. And in 5 years in, and $240 some odd million, he has yet to deliver this on a constant basis. He is the engine that is, he is the most flimsy Ferrari built engine ever.
Yes.
Okay. He is, he got knocks in the motor, the bit be misfiring and shit. You don't know if it's going to rev up the speed right, if you shift gears, we don't know, the transmission don't work right in that car. All kind of shit is wrong with him.
Yeah.
But I spent $245 million on it, so I don't want to get rid of it right now.
So with that being said, I want to talk about the number two pick. How aggressive do you guys think those Jaguars should be on offense with Travis Hunter? Like, do you think that he should, like, what would be the splits of what y'all would say percentage wise for what he plays at corner than what he plays at wide receiver?
Wait, so did they really agree to let him do both sides?
Yes.
It sounds like it. Like, I think that they're at least looking at it. And I mean, I'm more optimistic of them doing it than like the Browns doing it, because I'm more optimistic of Brian Thomas Jr. being a number one versus Jerry Jeudy being a number one. Mm-hmm. Like, if they're going to basically have Travis Hunter say a number two, number three, which, you know, chances are he's going to be probably looking at this squad, probably a number two, you know, but like, if they're going to have him being that, then yeah, I would say that basically they should more tread lightly on bringing him in. I'd rather him playing like 85-15, you know, defense to offense.
You'd rather more defense than offense?
Yes. I think he could be an elite corner. I'd rather him be an elite corner.
So I'm with you on that. But the problem is them niggas. Offense is so
yes, yes.
Yes. See, we can talk about all the fact that they built their line better, though, which they did. They did. I'm gonna give them credit for that. They knew that they were bringing in a rookie quarterback. They built a better line. I give you an A for that. But then you ain't got but a couple. Now, I will say this: Dorian Singer coming out of Utah, he's a rookie. Don't know what he's gonna be. Not gonna speak on him. Him and Darius. Oh no, because they did J.J. Jones too. The rest of them up here. Cephas. Yeah, Cephas only a year in. Cameron Camper, he's the other rookie. Don't know what he's gonna be. This is like a bad spades hand in a way. It's a bunch of possibilities in your hand. Ain't no guaranteed books for sure, except maybe like one.
Looking at a seven of clubs, looking at like probably like an eight of diamonds, like, you know, like you might.
I think it could be a game by game basis. It depends on, I think that's what it might come down to. I don't think they'll have a set percentage. I feel like they really gonna feel out who his better matchups are, because it depends. You know, some games he might fare better on offense. You know, some games he might have a better, you know, matchup being on defense. So I feel like it depends on who they're playing, how much they're going to use him on which side of the ball.
That's fair. That's fair.
I can see that. I can see that. But to me, look, I know he wants to play both sides of the ball. I'm so dynamic. But, no, it's so... It's so bad to the point where this is what I'm gonna say, Jacksonville. You need to pray one of those other rookies becomes a better receiver than him to knock him down the depth chart to make Travis Hunter a four, a five.
Yes,
on the receiver. That way he can go play defense, and whenever we need him, hey, Travis, we running a four man. We running four men out here. We running a five man spread. We need y'all that we can do that.
Yep.
I don't need him whenever we lining up trips. He's a two or three because he's not going to be number one. I'm sorry, Travis. You not Brian Thomas Jr. receiver wise. You're not there. You're not there.
Nah.
They can tell you that you're there, but he going to tell you that you're not.
He might be close, though. He might be close.
Look at it. There are games like you ain't going to see him. I don't think we're going to see him taking too many defensive reps if they playing like the Bengals. Motherfucking,
but to me, that's what you might need.
Shit, look, I'm saying, look at Nico Collins. Like, I'm like, yeah. If I'm playing him, I want you, Travis. I want that to be the only thing on your mind. I want Nico Collins to be the only thing on your mind. Like, that's all I want you to do today. Shut that motherfucker down.
Look, I can see him on Cheetah and
he's
20 yards behind.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like if they play in the Colts, who we're gonna talk about in a little minute, I'm like, okay, we can work some plays in for you. We can work some things on offense. Like if he playing, who else we talking about? The Titans. I'm like, we can think about some stuff for you. But if they like if we playing the Texans, we playing the fucking shit. Even like the Raiders with some shit named.
You playing any of them motherfuckers that got one of them badass dudes out there? Hey, dog, look, bro. I know I promised you 10 offensive plays. You're going to get two today. Rip, I need you to go concentrate on him.
Yeah.
Because it ain't happening today, man. I'm not about to let him run amok out here. Go get him.
Right. Be exceptional on that nigga, not against those niggas. Like, nah, don't worry about them. We got some full-time niggas over there. You worry about getting him. Don't worry about nothing else. Him. Just that one.
That's why I said Jacksonville needs somebody to be better than what they coming in. I don't know who it's going to be. I don't know if Cephas going to take a step, if it's going to be Cameron Camper, which to me, he's the person size-wise I would want to take the step. He's fucking 6'3", damn near 200 pounds as a receiver. That's who I would want to take to come out and be my rookie. Because they got, like I said, it's a bad spades hand over there. It's a bunch of goddamn possibles, and we ain't got no books for sure. If you pull this hand and look at your partner, you... I maybe got two, though.
Maybe. My goodness.
That man said it's a who's who of who knows.
Whenever they get to adding up, it ain't 13. Be like, shut up, I'm trying to work this. Trying to figure this out. It's bad in Jacksonville. Yeah. I know he wants to be a wide receiver. They listed him as a wide receiver. I need you to go be a shutdown corner, though. Because look, Trevor Lawrence, call you Sunshine. Sunshine! I need you to get it together. Because they didn't give you too much money to throw for 2,000 yards.
Sunshine ain't it. I don't think he gonna ever get it together.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Jarvis, he better get it together. Do you know how much money they gave him? Bob will choke the living hell out of him behind my $245 million that they gave him.
They found more things to give him. Just to give them all them things.
Him and Ben Simmons must got the same agent, huh? They both stealing money.
It's one thing to be hurt, like Deshaun Watson. It's one thing to be hurt. He ain't hurt.
Yeah.
He just out there on the field taking money.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you, in his head, after he had played a bad game, he must say, well, I'm going to go home and sit in my $1 million mansion in my $1 million hot tub and sip my $1,000 wine and wipe my tears with $100 bills of what happened today whenever I threw three interceptions. But it's all right, because we'll be back to practice on Monday to make sure we get our check on Thursday to ride this up, because that's the only way I see this happening, though. He getting paid way, way too much money to do what he do. It's one thing if you heard, Rob, But it's a whole nother thing whenever you got this cheesy ass smile on your picture on your profile on ESPN and you not doing nothing to help the team.
No tink.
11 touchdowns.
Do you really think it's just him, or is it, could it be a mixture of coaching, or just him not hitting his target?
Yes.
Everything.
Honestly, it could be very much yes. Like I ain't saying it's not. Like it's he's not helping himself. They're not helping him. Hopefully, this is like the change of like all of that shit.
If you pull Brian Thomas Jr. off of the lineup, do you know that that's 1,000 of his yards was to one person?
1,000 out of the 2. That's bad.
It's to one person, though. So that's why I'm saying I'm going to say at least 60 to 70% of it is him. Mm-hmm. And then they gave him all of that money off of one half a season flash in the pan of, man, he went 8-3. He was real good. And then he has yet to get back there.
Yeah.
This is the equivalent to falling for the banana in the tailpipe right here, because he literally said, look what I can do. And they say, 245 me now. My bad. Brian Thomas Jr. had 1,282 yards. Okay? So everything except about 700 and some of his yards was one person.
Yeah, that's outrageous.
Trash.
Look, that, and then Brian Thomas had more touchdowns than he had 11-7. 10 of his touchdowns was Brian Thomas. So 10 of his 11 touchdowns and most of his yards was one dude. K-Bake, what's up, though?
See, yeah, I don't know what they see. They need to stop believing, because I don't believe no more. Sunshine, it went night-night.
Oof.
Yeah. And speaking of going night-night, the stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas is what they like to say. Can the Texans bounce back? Can C.J. Stroud rubber match? What do we think about Stroud? Do we think that he's bouncing back? Is he going to be better this year?
I think so. I think he's going to be better this year. This Texans, granted, they're going to be without Tank Dell this year, or seemingly without Tank Dell this year, but they're going to have Nico back, who got an injury history. But they brought in, they drafted Jaden Higgins from Iowa State, brought in Christian Kirk. Like, they're going to have a nice little squad this year, and they still got, you know, Will Anderson on defense. You still got Jalen Petrie. You still got Jarek Stingley Jr. You still got Daniil Hunter, which, you know, you can trust on it, whatever. But, like you still got plenty of cats that are still there. They tried to basically still redo their offensive line, you know, like, and it's still going to need some work. But I think with Stroud, he was great the year before, or he was great his rookie season. I think he's going to bounce back this year, you know, with the pieces that he got. It's just they're going to need to keep that middle open for him. They're going to have to keep that middle intact so he can basically work. And, you know, not be so gunshot. But, nah, man, I think they're going to bounce back this year.
What do you think, Fisky?
Yeah, definitely. I was a little surprised at how it happened last year, because I definitely had them higher, you know, with a little more success than what happened. But I think they're going to find their footing, especially with, you know, with their defense and their offense still. I feel like they can make a big push. I feel like they can get back to that 2023-24 season where they surprised everybody. I think they're going to make that push again.
Yeah, they can be good. Jaden Higgins, second round pick, really big target, 6'4". Okay, so you giving him another tall target to go out there. I think that's going to be a game changer. Mechie's still going to be there. Well, you know, it'd be Messi in Louisiana. But Messi's still going to be there. They did really well for what they have, and I feel like they can go up. The line has to be there for him. Mm-hmm. They have to stop him from getting hit. And they bought in one of the best third down backs that you could have got out of free agency in Chubb. You bring in a guy who can kind of help mixing out a little bit.
Right.
And And I feel like with that, you can put Mixon in different places. Chubb can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's only 29, which ain't quite, you know, dead running back years. But he's even though he's up there, he's still in really good shape. I feel like he's one of the better backs that was out there in free agency. Nobody picked up the other Dallas team. And I feel like shit could go better for the Texans, you know? Like, you can only look up. You can only look up for what they've done. Can he be better? I think he's going to bounce back. You know, sophomore slump, though.
Yeah. And we've talked about it. Like, the division is still – they're in level of flux with their other teams. So, I mean, it's the division for them to lose. Like, I think they got the pieces. They got things to basically dominate. It's just – they just going to have to fix themselves. And I think they got time to, but they're just going to have to do it. They still got a great coach in D'Amico Ryans. They still got basically great pieces all around. They just got to basically follow through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely agree.
And like I said, the other Texas team didn't take advantage of Nick Chubb. Like, I'm going to constantly talk bad about it. Your Cowboys, because they made...
We flopped on Mitchell. We did.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And I told you many times, I said, you need a running back. And you were like, we're going to get one. And then Nick Chubb went across there to good old Texans land.
Sadly, I'm not surprised. We did what we normally do. Just get an average, random person.
It's bad.
Speaking of the projects, can we talk about the culture quick?
You mean you talking about the ghetto right there? That's what you're talking about. The high price ghetto?
These damn Colts. Yeah.
Dude, when I say, like, the way that I can basically describe this team is pre-tank. Like, they are set to really tank and give up a lot of assets. So, look, if you are an NFL team, you should be looking at this team like Facebook Marketplace. You should be like, man, look, Adonai Mitchell, he's very fast. He could work in my system. Let's look at Josh Downs. Man, he really worked. Mo Alley Cox, I could use Mo Alley him. I could use a Mo Alley. You know, like, you could really think. You should be basically scrolling through their roster and be like, yeah, that's going to be good for us. That could work with us. And just kind of pre-think. Like, Amazon has this thing, like, where you can basically – take part of your home and, like, say you got like a couch or something like that, you can want to see where it's going to be. You can have a projection. So you could be like, man, what would a Quiddy Pay look on my defensive line? Like, what would a Kenny Moore II look on my team? Like, you really need to take advantage of what's there right now with the Colts and say, like, how would this work with me? Like, how would this work with us? And so I, you know, granted, Cam Bynum, who I love with the Vikings, he just gone there, he got paid, got his money. You do you, boo-boo. But boo-boo is what you about to do with this team, because this is like a shit team. All right, I mean, not say a shit team. This is a team with a lot of talent, with a quarterback that basically you cannot trust in, and with other niggas that's cast-offs. And I don't really know how you can basically look at that and say, like, yeah, this is a team that's not going to pick number one next year.
I don't know why you just tried to sugarcoat it for the people. Yeah, y'all shitty. Yeah, y'all shitty. I don't know why you tried to stop it. That, dude, it's the truth.
I try to be nice. I don't want to be fully bad. Like,
y'all were 8-9. Yeah, it's not the worst, but y'all are still crappy.
Anybody that voluntarily wants Daniel Jones on their roster has no vision of winning. Daniel Jones, come on now. I could go out there and probably do more than Daniel Jones. And I ain't in no football shape whatsoever. He looked like he out there got he looked like he got money on the game the way he playing so slow.
Yeah. They want that buy low sell high with him. And it's like,
check his FanDuel account. Check Daniel Jones' FanDuel account.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the only – I'll never forget that motherfucker when the pandemic was going on. He was the only motherfucker that had that breakaway run where he shot out like a cannon from the line and basically was the only person to stop himself from basically scoring. Like, it was nobody in front of him. And that man
Two left feet.
No. Oh, my God. If you are by your YouTube people, go look up Danny Doe's tripping in the open field. It is the funniest thing in the world because it was nobody near him. Like, he was his only tackler. Only tackler.
Only. And that's what I'm telling you. Why waste your time on him? Like, don't get me wrong. Anthony Richardson is like the ultimate quitter right now to me.
Okay. You know what? I wouldn't put him as quitter. I knew what he was coming from, but I knew that he couldn't do it. That's the one thing. Because everybody take a playoff. Granted, except for like the offensive line. Those people don't get switched out. But like, everybody gets switched out every now and then. He needed a break. He just needed a breather.
Nah,
you know,
nah.
It hurts out there, dog.
You the number four pick in the first round of 2023. And you hollering about, I need a break. What have you been doing in the offseason?
He only played like a couple handfuls of games, man. He ain't played that much. He a baby out there, man. Like, he was just like, man, look, I needed some me time. Like, while it happens. We all were. It happens.
Yeah. Anthony Richardson Sr. is like the equivalent to playing Russian roulette with two fully loaded guns. You bound to shoot yourself as soon as you pull a goddamn trigger. Because the problem with him is it's either interception or he's gonna get sacked. And if he don't get sacked and he do manage to get the ball out there, you praying that it's close enough to your receiver to make a play. Okay? And then, in the most crucial of times, whenever your team can need you, I needed to worry.
Yeah.
Speaking of Anthony Richardson, I come to notice we have too many quarterbacks. That's literally just space fillers. Just to come out, that's what Anthony Richardson is. He's a space filler. He coming out there just because there's a spot open. And ain't nobody to put there. That's it. I'm tired of looking at stuff like that.
Don't get me wrong. Dude got talent. He has talent. But he chooses the worst moments he chooses the worst moments to want to be black as fuck for that moment and be on the sideline and be like, I want to take a break. This is not the time for you to do that.
It was a learning moment for a young man that basically just did not know any better, man. That's all.
Stop acting your color. That's what they gotta say. Stop acting your color. Guys.
Look, no, I would have been if I would have did that, and my mama would have heard that on the news. I'd have been afraid to go home for about a week or two. I'd have been like, I need to let her cool off. She done heard that shit on ESPN. I need to let her cool off. She gonna tag me, but now I go through the door. Let me give her some time to cool off, cause then she gonna hear that press conference. She gonna call me. I can take the tongue lash over the phone. It's the physical shit that might endure income if I go home. Nah, though, he has talent.
All that money to play three hours a week, huh?
Dog, they go to practice, they study film, and they play on Sunday, and he's like, nah, I don't want to play.
Not today, coach.
It's like, whenever your team needed you the most, it's like, not right now. Nah. Not the moment that I need it. And that's bad. Because he's setting the Colts up for the glue truck. Just setting them up for the glue truck. And that's horrible. That is horrible. Now that we've got done talking about the Colts going to the glue truck. So look. I must speak on the world of boxing. You hold a place in my heart because I used to watch this with my dad, my aunt, them, all of the boxing fans. I have so many memories. Roy Jones, Mike Tyson, just boxers, just people getting knocked out. The sweet science. And you didn't fail me. You have failed me because you have ranked Jake Paul in the cruiserweight division above a man who is 20-0.
22.
20-0, and you rank Jake Paul number 14 up above this man at 15. Now, I have so many issues. Rob, would you happen to have the list of people that Jake Paul fought still up?
Let me actually bring it up. But I did memorize a few. So one of those men, former slam dunk champion Nate Robinson, who's mm-hmm. my size.
Yep.
Let's just point out there. Another one of them, Tyron Woodley from
not a boxer. The Lou, not a boxer.
The Lou. Thank you. Another man, Ben Askren from not a Missouri, boxer. I think, but whatever. Not a boxer. Anderson Silva.
Not a boxer. He is boxing, but not a boxer.
It was a man named Ryan Borland. Not to be confused with Al Borland from Home Improvement.
Yep. Semi-retired boxer. Not that great. Was a semi-retired boxer, but not at a prime. Keep going.
Old ass Mike Tyson.
Should damn near be in a nursing home at damn near 60 years old, but was in a boxing ring with him.
And recently deported Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.
Okay. A former boxer who I watched, he went out there, and for everybody who could say Jake just beat up on this man, I watched this man not throw a punch to the fifth round. This man's strength and conditioning coach quit on him because he said he was not in it. Now, I see why he quit on him, and he said he was not in it. The one person that y'all refused to list on this man's loss is goddamn Tommy Fury. They went three rounds. He lost to Tommy Fury, who's actually a boxer, who's in the same weight division, who's recently fought, just in May, who's still undefeated, ranked 39th behind Jake Paul, who he beat. And y'all have Jake Paul ranked 14th and Tommy Fury ranked 39th. And Jake Paul ahead of a guy who's 20-0. Okay? Many of you people may not know who Jai Opatai is, but that is the king of this cruiserweight division right now. Mm-hmm. Jake wants a title. You know what? Boxing world, y'all want to see death go right ahead. Go right ahead, feed him to him. I'm with it.
I'm with it.
I'm with it. Because you know why? Y'all are buying into the names right now, and this should not be about his name. This should not be about his name. He's not the best in his division. He can tell me all he wants that he's taking it seriously, but he has not fought anybody of credibility. And if God forbid, if one of y'all say Mike Tyson, I'm going to choke you. Because he did not fight 30-year-old Mike Tyson. If he would have fought 40-year-old Mike Tyson, I think he gets his ass whooped, okay?
Definitely.
Not yeah. 58-year-old Mike Tyson. This is a travesty. This is something that if he goes up and gets knocked out and gets put down viciously, this is your fault.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you have to live with, because you're taking from the guys who take this seriously, who worked year in and year out their entire career, the guys who are fighting for a chance to get ranked, to get a title match, to make the big money, to have title defenses, to show that they can do this. You're taking away from them. I will use Deontay Wilder as an example. Deontay Wilder had a stretch of bad fights. He just knocked the hell up out of a dude to show y'all that he's not done yet, that he, at 39 years old, has another run in him to try to go for a heavyweight title. That man is fighting for his life. Like he say, till this day, he is out there trying to make this hustle. But yet y'all are falling for the YouTubers, bro. Y'all are falling for a YouTuber.
For a name. A name.
This is one thing. If Jake Paul wants to make me a believer, he needs to go and show out like Logan. He needs to take a page from Logan's handbook. Granted, it's a different sport. We in the wrestling now. But Logan is going out there with the top guys, mm-hmm. working his ass off. hitting crazy goddamn moves. He ain't just going out there with the jobbers, hitting basic wrestling moves, taking a bump. No, he going out there to be the top guy versus the top guys. Logan is proving himself to not only be just a celebrity wrestler. He is going out there to, he say, yeah, I want you to call me a WWE wrestler. Mm-hmm. That's what Jake needs to do. Jake, if you want me to take you seriously, stop fighting old guys. Stop fighting, you know, celebrity matches. You know, I want to see you go hand to hand with somebody that's in there. Somebody that's in their prime. Somebody that's your age. That's what I need to see.
So Jake Paul is Drake. And let me explain. So, like, the thing about what people's problem with that they had with Drake, like DMX has basically said it, Kendrick has basically put it out there, like when he was basically doing the stuff, like more like the singing shit and everything like that, everybody was like, okay, man, do your thing, man. Like you got what you got, whatever. Once he started trying to do that stick talk shit and trying to basically be, you know, all this kind of stuff, he's like, nigga, you Aubrey, like get the fuck out of here. It needs to be some level of, he's perpetrating a boxer, he's perpetrating an actual fighter. There needs to be somebody that's a Kendrick that basically busts his ass and basically says, like, hey, stay in your fucking place, stop trying to basically be something you're not. Because he's been talking about, yeah, I want to be USA boxer, I want to win a gold medal. Show me what the fuck you can actually do against somebody that's worth a damn. Not somebody that you basically feel like you're going to stop, or for somebody that you're going to basically, you know, come out here and think like, oh yeah, he's this, he's that. No, man. Fight an actual fighter. Show that you are something instead of basically this bullshit. If this is what you want to do, if you want to basically be a sideshow, you want to do these sparring matches and get paid, man, do your thing. But don't actually try to perpetrate something that you're not, because there's actually people spending time and spending blood basically trying to be these fighters. You haven't done anything to show that you are that. Nothing. You fought a slam dunk champion and niggas that are old or out of their league and somebody from St. Louis. And like you've done that, but you haven't done anything yet for real, dude. Stop it. Just stop it.
So let me give you guys a cautionary tale. Okay. Do you guys know about Benny Perrette? Okay, so I'm going to give you guys a quick tale. For you at home who don't know about this, there's a documentary about this. So, Benny Perrette fought Emil Griffith, all right? Benny Perrette died. And he died because of a brain hemorrhage, okay? Mm-hmm. If you want to see something that I think could possibly happen to him if he get in the ring with the wrong person, watch what happened to Benny Perrette. Emil Griffith didn't play with him. Emil Griffith got mad because Benny Perrette called him all kinds of foul, derogatory names, even though they were two black guys. He called him a fairy. He called him the other F word about gay people. He said all of this, right? Now, Emil Griffith beat Benny Perrette in the corner. And at one point, the only thing that was keeping Benny Perrette up was punches. It was punches. Mm-hmm. He was literally getting hit, and he was limp. If Jake Paul keeps playing, he's going to run across a person that's going to be pissed. And they're not going to be having this. And they're going to try to slaughter him in the ring, and that's going to be the end of this. He needs to be very cautionary of what he's doing, because you're playing with other people's livelihood. Mm-hmm. This wasn't your livelihood. Your livelihood was making outrageous videos with your brother. Mm-hmm. Your livelihood was promoting all of this other stuff and doing crazy stuff. You're going to cross the wrong person who's going to take this as it's my livelihood versus yours. Yeah. And Emil Griffith is going to do, that person might do you just like Emil Griffith did to Benny Perrette. And if he beats you like that, there won't be any excuses. Now, granted, the ref probably won't let it get that far. But if you've never seen it, it was one of the most I'm going to say gruesome. I'm going to say it's one of the most horrifying, gruesome things that you could ever watch that happened in a boxing ring. The man was being held up by punches. Emil Griffith probably gave this man like a 30-piece combo. No fries, no drink, just dry biscuits from Popeyes and told him, you about to hold this. I'm about to make you eat everything you've ever said in your life. And that's what he did him. And Jake needs to realize if he runs across the wrong person, that's what's going to happen. They're not going to play with him. It's either going to be that or it's going to be a very, very vicious knockout. And he's not going to be ready for it. He thinks he's ready for it because he on his life, he just feels like, I knocked out Tyron Woodley. I can do this. Tyron Woodley's hands drop and you manage to catch him.
Correct.
You're not catching these boys like that, bro.
Not at all.
You are not catching not one of no these top 15 fighters. Guys.
No.
You're not catching one of these top 15 guys like that. They are going to hurt you. They're going to hurt you, and it's going to be bad. And I hate to say it, but God forbid they let you in there with a Jai Opatai or Pappen or somebody like that in your division, one of these killers, these guys who got it on their mind that, hey, I'm going to hit you, and I'm not going to stop hitting you till the ref come get me. That's what can happen to you. And I think that's what has him still in this. He ain't took a bad lick yet, Rob. Uh-uh. He hasn't took a bad lick yet.
You're right. I ain't seen him getting dazed.
Right.
Yeah. He ain't took that bad lick yet. See, he ain't got that old shit yet, man.
He ain't been tested. No.
Yeah.
And that's everybody knows what to do until you get punched in the face.
And that's the problem right there. Because when he lost to Tommy, that shit was too short. He ain't give Tommy enough time to work on. But y'all starting to go 8 rounds, 10 rounds. All right, get in there with one of them killers.
Yep.
Hop in that shark-infested water with them stakes around your neck. Let's see how this go. Because they're going to eat you. They want more than just the steak. They want you, too. Mm-hmm. They want you. You may think that this is going to be an easy one, but it ain't happening like that, though. It's not happening. But with me concluding my rant on Jake Paul, is there anything else that you guys want to talk about?
Nah, man. That was excellent. Like, I'm at Good Night Canada, Good Night Taylor Swift mode with that one.
We anything you want to say, Jarls, before we get up?
I just got one thing to say. One sport that I like to watch comes around once a year, and it is happening. Joey Chestnut is returning to the hot dog eating contest. I got him over 70 this year.
Ooh.
You know, I got him coming back strong. He want to reclaim his title. He coming. He might try to break his. I don't think he's going to break his own record. He ain't going to get to the 80s. But I got him at least 70 this year. Putting him down. Glizzies and buns. Pause. But that's it. I will be checking out my boy Joey to see how he does. And to see if he reclaims his title after the ban has been lifted. And that's all for me.
Glizzy McGuire.
Yeah, Glizzy McGuire. Glizzies and buns is diabolical to say in the same sentence. That shit just sounds diabolical. That just sounds like, so...
I hate the YNs for coming up with that glizzy.
All you can do is have fun with it at this point.
Oh yeah.
All you can do is have fun with it at this point. But go ahead, Rob. Hit us with the outro, Rob.
Alright, y'all. Good night, Canada. Good night, Taylor Swift. Court, like, subscribe. Do all the good shit on all the good things, dog. Y'all have a good weekend. Peace out.
Oh yeah, happy 4th of July to y'all.
2-2.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Bra Migos podcast. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Ever.